You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Coming up Thursday on Idaho Matters, I will be sitting down live with the new president of the University of Idaho. And we would love to hear from you. We have questions of our own for the new president. But if you have questions or comments for the new president of the U of I, get those comments into us. The best way to do it is through email. Just email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Again, that is idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And we may just read your question on air. And next Tuesday, August 20th, we will be talking with the new Boise State University president, Dr. Marlene Tromp. So if you have questions for her, you can also send those in as well. We are just going to be having conversations with these two new presidents about the future of our universities here in the state of Idaho. So again, if you've got questions for the new president of the U of I, that interview is coming up this Thursday. Next Tuesday, it's Dr. Tromp at BSU. You can email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Zebra and quagga mussels can devastate an ecosystem, and Yellowstone National Park is doing everything it can to keep them out. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports, that includes harnessing the power of a dog's snout.
Barley, the border collie, is really in his element.
Barley and Tobias and I are looking for zebra and quagga mussels.
That's dog handler Kayla Fratt. Today, Barley, along with Tobias, a yellow lab, will sniff boats, kayaks, paddleboards, and any other kind of watercraft before it goes out on the water. The trio is with Working Dogs for Conservation, a nonprofit group that smells out invasive and endangered species all over the world. So far today, Tobias and Barley have inspected about 10 different boats in a parking lot next to Yellowstone Lake.
I haven't found anything yet, but that's what we like to hear.
Invasive aquatic species like zebra or quagga mussels can attach themselves to wet surfaces, so all watercraft entering the park from other places must go through an inspection. Fratt tells me the mussels might appear small, but they are very destructive.
They'll encrust pretty much every solid surface in the lake. They outcompete native species. They'll clog our drainage pipes and their filter feeders. So the lakes get clearer, which is one plus, but that's because there's no nutrients left for anything else to grow in.
As we're talking, a truck with a small boat on a trailer pulls up to the parking lot. Fratt explains that a human inspection is mandatory, but boaters can opt out of the dog one.
Do you guys mind if we have a mussel detection dog run through your boat quick?
A what?
Yeah, he's looking for zebra mussels.
Sure.
Awesome, thank you.
Tobias sniffs around the outside of the boat with Fratt holding on tight to his leash. He gets into all the nooks and crannies.
There's a lot of holes in this boat. Check here.
It only takes him about a minute, and he reports no signs of the nasty mussels. If he had, he'd be barking, whining, and scratching.
There's a good boy! Nice job!
Tobias and Barley weren't always conservation dogs. Barley came from a rescue shelter in Denver, and Tobias was once a stray found wandering the streets of Helena, Montana. Fratt's organization employs all kinds of dog breeds, but they do need to have a good nose, and they also need to be the obsessive type.
We work with these really ball-crazy dogs. As you can see, Barley keeps dropping his toy at your feet.
Fratt says training the dogs to detect the mussels is similar to teaching them to search for other things, like a missing person or drugs. It has everything to do with scent.
And what we basically do is we'll take a little vial of zebra mussels. They're frozen, dried, and crushed so that they're super duper dead. And we'll hold them out. And if the dog puts his nose on them, he gets the ball thrown at him.
Handlers do this over and over again with dogs before they start hiding the vial in really easy to find places.
Because I know if they find it, they get the ball. And then you basically just make it harder and harder for them to find it until they get really good at it.
And here in Yellowstone, there's a lot at stake. Sue Mills oversees the Aquatic Invasive Species Program at the park.
If zebra or quagga mussels were to get established in a place like Yellowstone, it would be a major ecological crisis, not only for us, but for everyone downstream.
That's because Yellowstone is a headwaters for the Columbia River Basin, which is the last major river system in the U.S. without zebra or quagga mussels. So Mills is looking at every possible solution, and she wondered what role the dogs could play.
I was curious to see, are they really that good? They look like they're good.
So far, she says, she's impressed. But dogs do have their limitations.
Like people, they need rest, so you need more than one dog.
And since Yellowstone has three different motorized boat ramps, they need sets of dogs for each of those.
So you start having quite a large kennel at that point, and The question comes up is whether or not we would at some point have detection dogs in the park.
Right now, the park is renting Barley and Tobias from Fratt's Conservation Group, and a lot of people do. These dogs don't stop at mussels. In Tanzania, for instance, they track down human poachers, and closer to home in Montana and Idaho, they figure out the movement patterns of bears and mountain lions. Dog handler Kayla Fratt says this job takes her everywhere.
We might be coming to check out some endangered or invasive species near you.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.